manly men, 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 men.
This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News.
Men, 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 manly men.
Good morning to you. As the theme song says, it's all men in here today. Libby Collins out, Dayton Kane in. Greg Matzik, of course, who you just heard in news. Isaac in the producer's booth. We have a great show lined up for you. And we will give Libya much needed rest. So welcome to Sunday morning. It is August 18th. A ton to do around the state today. It is the last day of county fairs in Brown County, Dodge County, Door County, Grant County, Juneau County, Kenosha County, Ashton County, Sawyer County. There's a lot of state fairs going on this weekend. It sounds like I'm reading off a severe weather list, but that's not what I'm doing. In fact, Brendan Johnson in from TMJ4. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I am well, Dayton. Good to talk to you this morning. Yeah, you know, we've had a lot going on this weekend. It kind of seems sad that we weren't able to get this nice dry stretch of weather we have coming in a bit earlier.
Yeah, yeah. So, but we have nothing threatening us right now, right, for all these events?
No, no. So just outside of maybe a couple of sprinkles near the lakefront today, and I've had a couple on radar this morning, that's about it. We've got high pressure on its way to Wisconsin today. Honestly, the pick of the weekend, because yesterday, and of course the day before, dealt with quite a few showers and thunderstorms.
All right. So you're going to get out and get some fried foods and see some animals today, or what's the plan?
Yeah, you know, the plan is maybe hit up Irish Fest. As an Irish person myself, yeah. Probably should get that off my... checklist here for the weekend, but yeah, going out and enjoying. And I'm a fan of the cooler weather, the less humid weather, and I do have good news on that front. We're talking Monday, Tuesday, temperatures down into the low and mid 70s in Milwaukee near the lakefront, the dew points finally breaking a bit and dropping back into the 50s. So it's going to feel a lot more comfortable in southern Wisconsin here over the next few days.
That's good. Friday was brutal with that humidity. Holy cow, it was hot. So, okay, well, that's good news. We're looking forward to a nice week, it sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, if you are a fan of the more summer-like weather, don't worry. It's just we're getting tastes of fall every now and again by the end of the week and certainly into next weekend. That humidity is back, and so are those 80-degree high temperatures. But we're staying dry between now and then.
Perfect. I do have a question for you. Seems like lately when we get rain, we get torrential downpours and not just actually this weekend we've seen a little bit of that light, misty rain, which is kind of refreshing, actually. Is sure. That what's causing that? Just high pressure systems rolling through all the time lately?
Yeah, you know, so we get these torrential rain events because of how much precipitable water we have in the atmosphere. It's a term just used to describe just that, how much water is available in the atmosphere. When those dew points get higher into the 60s, near 70 degrees as we had on Friday, I mean, it's brutal heat. It is miserable. That just speaks to how much water content is in the atmosphere. So the more water that those storms and showers have to take advantage of, the more efficient they are at producing rain. And when they stay over one spot or keep developing like we had in Sheboygan County just the other day, you're going to wind up with flooding. And so that's why folks on the south side of Sheboygan just a couple days ago had all that rain in front yards, backyards, in the streets, and we wound up having some flash flooding.
All right. Well, thank you, Brendan. We appreciate you coming on the show. Have a great day.
You too. Take care.
All right. Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News is going to be a good show. Besides all the county fairs going on, you heard Brendan mention Irish Fest. The Sun Prairie Sweet Corn Festival is going on today. The Oconomowoc Festival of the Arts a la carte at the Milwaukee County Zoo is happening from 9:30 to 8 today. So you can get over there still, get some good food over there. Supposed to be a fantastic day. So get out, do something, enjoy what we have left of the weekend. We're going to check in with Country in the Berg today. Eric Bilstad's here with an everyday hero. Eric Brown joining us to discuss the state of home improvement and what's happening in that industry. We're also going to take a look at the Week in Review and talk to a woman in Menominee Falls who just became a published author. Her book, I Love Tummy Time, is out at this point, and we'll find out what she's talking about there. It's going to be a good show. We appreciate you being on. Coming up in 2 minutes, Greg Matzik with sports.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Make it 4 wins in a row for the Brewers, all over first place teams.
On the windup, 1-2 pitch. Drill to left field. This is trouble. Is it fair? It's towards the pole. It is fair. It is gone. Another home run, William Contreras, and the Brewers are right back in front. That's his 6th home run already this month. 2-1 Milwaukee in the home fourth.
Josh Maurer on the call on WTMJ. A fourth inning home run by William Contreras. The difference in a 2-1 win over the Cleveland Guardians. Devin Williams closes things out in the ninth. Freddie Peralta picks up the win. Brewers go for a sweep this afternoon. Coverage gets underway following the 12 o'clock news. Elsewhere around the division, Pirates, Cubs, and Cardinals all picked up wins. Reds fall to the Royals. Brewers begin the day 19 games over 500 with a 10-game lead over St. Louis for first place in the division. And it's game day for the Green Bay Packers, the team in Denver, to take on the Broncos in preseason game number 2 of 3. Don't expect to see quarterback Jordan Love on the field.
The plan probably is to give Sean the first crack at it, then Pratt.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur confirming Sean Clifford will start at quarterback, followed by rookie Michael Pratt. Kickoff set for just after 7 o'clock tonight from Denver. Greg Mantzik, WTMJ Sports.
Thank you, Greg. Coming up next, we're going to check in with Milwaukee Business Journal's Rich Kirchen, and we'll get you that 5-day forecast. It is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News. Welcome to Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News. Dayton Kane in for Libby Collins today. We appreciate you joining us. Today's going to be partly cloudy, scattered rain throughout the day, a high of 78. Tonight down to 61. Tomorrow partly cloudy, 75. Tuesday sunny and 72. Wednesday partly cloudy, 76. Thursday partly cloudy, 79. Going to be a beautiful week if we can just get through today and try to dodge some showers as we go through there. So it is 70 in Milwaukee. Let's check in with Milwaukee Business Journal's Rich Kirchen.
Welcome to the Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News Business Journal Week in Review. We are joined, as always, by senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal, Rich Kirchen. Hello, Rich. Happy Sunday.
Hey, Adam. Great to be here.
All right. So we got a lot to hit on this week, and I want to start with the headline from Drew in the Business Journal caught the eye, I think, of all of us here at the station. Milwaukee landing a convention that is known in convention world as the Super Bowl of Events. What is this and why is it called the Super Bowl of Events?
Yes, so the news is not that the RNC is coming back. In fact, it's an organization called the American Society of Association Executives. And these are the people who plan events and schedule conventions. So it's something where not only does Milwaukee get, and this is not happening till 2034, but they're expecting about 4,200 guests to come in, which has an economic impact during the event itself. But the other thing is that the host cities of these events typically get about 20% of those 4,000 visitors to book events in their town. So that's why in the convention industry, it's considered a very big deal.
I was going to say that's a 10-year window to start preparing for this. Do you think all of that's necessary?
I have no doubt that they will be ready 10 years from now for this event at the Baird Center. A lot of conventions are booked years in advance. Typically, it's more like 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 years. So this is unusual, but that's how they do it there at the American Society of Association Executives.
Now, Rich, you did mention the RNC in the lead up, and there is now, of course, that the convention has come and gone. We look at the impact. Okay, what kind of dollars came into the city? It's been about a month since the convention. What are we learning now?
I talked with Allison Prangy, who is the chief operating officer for the Milwaukee RNC host committee. They had a party for their thousands of volunteers who helped out during the convention over at the Pfister this past week. The RNC host committee and the Committee on Arrangements and Visit Milwaukee are still working on an economic impact study, which is going to come out this fall. But what Allison told me was it's definitely going to be positive, and you know, they met or exceeded their goals. We won't see actual dollar amounts for a while.
Switching gears, Rich Kirchen, senior reporter, Milwaukee Business Journal, with us on Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News. Closures. We have a lot of grocery options in the greater Milwaukee area. One of those is Festival Foods, and it's at least decreasing its footprint by one store.
Yeah, Festival Foods filed a layoff notice with the state of Wisconsin that they're going to close their store. It's on South 27th Street, 4800 South. It used to be a Target store, and it opened as a Festival Foods in 2021 as a third of three locations that they opened as they moved into the Milwaukee area. Festival Foods says that they're going to continue running their other stores, West Allis and Hales Corners.
It's certainly interesting. Festival Foods, of course, a wide Wisconsin footprint. not as much in southeast Wisconsin, and it does seem that it's not going to expand, certainly, if they are decreasing their footprint.
Right, yeah, it was significant. Everybody in the grocery industry was paying attention. Festival, which, like you said, has been growing around the state of Wisconsin, decided to move right into the heart of Metro Milwaukee, and that's not easy to do, like you said, with so many grocery options.
Switching over to transit news with Rich Kirchen from the Milwaukee Business Journal. So earlier this week, Connect 2, the planned second bus rapid transit line for the Milwaukee County Transit System, the system is delayed now due to ongoing budget issues for the county. But in a bit of good news for transit in our area, the Amtrak Borealis line, the new addition to Amtrak running through the state, appears after a month to be actually turning a profit, which is early. We want to stress it's early, but that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, it's called the Amtrak Borealis. And yeah, they did their first, it started May 21st, but the first full month of service was June. And they said that they did, it was above break even, at least on an operating basis, $1.9 million in revenue. And ridership was 19,400 in June. And that line goes from Chicago to Milwaukee on up into the Twin Cities with stops in between.
I was one of those 19,000 in June. I rode it from Minneapolis back down, technically St. Paul, but back down to Milwaukee on a trip I made to the Twin Cities recently. And I'll say this about the Borealis. One thing I loved about it versus other Amtrak lines, Wi-Fi.
Ah.
It is a big deal because
yes.
A lot of the Empire Builder, another train that runs through here,
mm-hmm.
No Wi-Fi.
Really?
Awful.
Wow.
So
yes.
This was actually, it was quite a nice ride.
It's an upgrade.
Milwaukee Business Journal's Rich Kirchen with us on Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News. All right, Rich, let's wrap things up with some positive development news. First, we go to Racine County and Caledonia, where a country club is going to be getting a bit of a makeover in terms of how that space is used.
Right. South Hills Country Club, which for decades has operated in Caledonia, drawn golfers from throughout southeast Wisconsin. They did close in 2023, and there have been a number of proposals over the years to redevelop that. Now there's one that's moving ahead. It's a national developer talking about spending $440 million to create an industrial park that ultimately will create 2,000 jobs once companies move in there. 3.8 million square feet on 220 acres, so a major new industrial park in Caledonia. The Village signed a development agreement with Ashley Capital.
And as we talk about repurposing facilities, I don't know if I've seen any more of that happening in our area than old malls or old structures being converted to pickleball facilities. And it seems we've got another one of those planned in South Milwaukee.
Yes, it's on Chicago Avenue, and most recently was an indoor soccer facility. Now the plans are for something called the Premier Pickleball Center. It's a developer from Franklin who plans to build 12 pickleball courts with barriers in between each court. $2.5 million project. They're saying that this is going to become a private club kind of arrangement for pickleball players.
Rich, are you a pickleballer yourself?
I have yet to pick up a pickleball or a pickleball paddle.
I won't tell Vince Vetrano. He would be scoffing at that. I will say, in terms of pickleball, the courts that are under $794, right by the public market, I walk by all the time. Our studios are pretty close, so I can go get lunch over there. And I'll say that even 11:30 noon on a random Wednesday, there are people just playing pickup matches. So it seems the hype has not died down yet.
Right, for sure. It's one of the hottest new athletic activities that's happened the last few years.
Senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal, Rich Kirchen, with us on Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News for the Business Journal Week in Review. Thanks, Rich.
Thanks, Adam.
Dayton Kane in for Libby Collins. Speaking of recreation, there was just a report that came out. Recreational boating in the U.S. is on the rise. 2023 seeing a 36% increase in annual income activity in the industry from 2018. It's according to the National Marine Manufacturers Association. Florida personal injury lawyers Andijar and Levine decided to investigate the most dangerous states for recreational boating in the U.S. I do have Greg and Isaac sitting here. You guys have any idea where Wisconsin would fall when it comes to dangerous boating? Did you do this during the week, Greg? Did you talk about this?
I did not. Dangerous boating was not part of our discussion on the midday show, but I would imagine just all the lakes that we have here, right? Some of the late night cruises that people go on. I would bet it's in that top quarter.
Yep, for sure. What do you think, Isaac?
With how high Wisconsin ranks on the list of drunkest states, I would feel like that probably factors into it a little bit too.
Yeah,
so I don't think we're low on this list.
Okay, so coming in first, not Wisconsin, Alaska, actually number one. So what they did here is they looked at not only accidents, but fatalities based on those accidents. So that's where you kind of get that movement on the chart. We tie for 10th place with Hawaii. However, the number of accidents, we have the most number of accidents in Wisconsin. So there you go. We're all out on the boats. We're all drinking, right? A lot of people don't drink and drive anything, no matter what it is. But so we tied with Hawaii, 116 accidents in 2023, 24 fatalities. So that's what really bumped us up was the accident number. We also had the most fatalities, but how percentage-wise accidents that are fatal, because we had so many accidents, we came in 10th. So technically, if I look at this list, I'd say we should be in first place. Most accidents, most fatalities, but percentage-wise then, that shakes out to putting us in 10th place. Interesting stuff. So be careful on the lakes. It's going to be a beautiful day, some showers here and there. But if you're out boating, be safe out there. Coming up next, we will get into the news with Greg Matzik. We'll also be checking in this week with our Week in Review, thanks to Outdoor Living Unlimited. It is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News on WTMJ. Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News. Good morning, Dayton Kane in for Libby Collins. 8:34. Let's get into a week in review. A Trump talk with a side of technical errors. A rare fish linked to earthquakes in California. J.D. Vance heads to Milwaukee and more. It's the Week in Review brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
What we do here is go back.
Parents left scrambling after the closure of Forever Friends Learn Center, with the owner and a 20-year-old daycare worker facing child abuse charges.
The nonprofit, which runs the Milwaukee Film Festival, is cutting its education programs.
Now that we are completely focused on the festival and our year-round programming, the metrics are pretty simple.
Former President Trump's conversation with Elon Musk on X got off to a rocky start. Technical issues delayed the interview for more than 40 minutes.
We unfortunately had a massive distributed denial of service attack against our servers.
With the no-melt popsicle recipe under wraps, CJ Wicks was determined to dig deep and discover the science behind it. But how does it taste?
So my research didn't focus on the sensory. That will be the next scientist's job.
She blinded me with science.
Decision Wisconsin. Results are in from across Tuesday's statewide partisan primary elections.
Two referenda questions concerning proposed amendments to the Wisconsin Constitution were rejected by about 65% of voters statewide.
That was able to win over not just the blue areas, but they ran up pretty good numbers in rural counties too.
They don't want MAGA politicians messing around with the Constitution to undermine checks and balances in their system of government.
Ernesto is approaching Puerto Rico.
We're being told that right now, over 300,000 residents currently do not have power.
Stay away from the ocean.
There was a harbinger of doom days before this week's earthquakes in California.
Footage captures kayakers and snorkelers smiling and taking photos with the body of a 12-foot-long silvery oarfish 2 days before a 4.6 quake rattled L.A. The fish are deep-sea dwellers, rarely seen by humans, with a mythical reputation for predicting natural disasters and earthquakes.
Cause of death, wizardry, and
fear of quake.
How do you like your fish, Stanley?
I don't like it. It's spooky.
3,000 for Robin.
It's the 50th anniversary year of Yount's Major League debut in 1974.
It was the first time that I had ever played baseball in that colder weather.
The pay window bouncer hit to Terang, and this one is over. Devin Williams retires the side.
But I'm not done yet.
3-2 pitch. Struck him out swinging. Got a fastball by him, and the Brewers have split this four-game series with L.A.
That's why he's the GOAT!
A suspect remains on the loose after firing shots at an off-duty Milwaukee police officer.
He requested to respond for a train versus semi. The train is derailed.
The collision in the town of Sherman leads to a 66-year-old from Kewaskum's death and six derailed train cars.
Going over the train tracks at a high rate of speed is unpredictable in itself.
Early this morning, a law enforcement operation was carried out to make arrests in the death of Matthew Perry. Five people have been charged in Perry's death, including doctors.
These defendants took advantage of Mr.
Mr. Perry's addiction issues to enrich themselves.
Welcome to the Eras Tour.
It's not cheap, but for big fans Lexi Wallen and Sage Hoyland.
We came from Minnesota. We went to Vienna.
Yeah.
That show was canceled, so now we're here.
Greendale Swifty Abby Hayeski telling Wisconsin's Morning News from London. Many fans electing to travel overseas to see Swift are actually saving money.
That's actually why we came to London. It was actually cheaper to come here and easier to get tickets, which is kind of crazy. We figured why not make a trip out of it, too.
Madison Metro Transit responding to reports of bed bugs on its buses after a mechanic reported bites on their arm Thursday morning. I can't even finish this story. Are you kidding me? You got a bed bug, you got to figure out a way to treat it, and then I would advise moving out of the state, right? Just that's enough. Don't go back on that bus.
That is disgusting.
Republican vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance, he is about to speak in Milwaukee.
We've learned that they're in a closed-door roundtable with law enforcement from all over.
Ma'am, in the email address.
Hi there, I'm Julia Fellow with 620 WTMJ. There's only so many detectives to go around with other cases. This is a real issue.
They don't get the same access to their Social Security benefits as most American workers. I think if we stop that, it would make it easier to recruit some police officers. Do the police officers out there agree with me? Stop that double taxation of benefits. I think so.
What are we, gay?
Doomsday fish.
Music is awfully loud.
I will eat the truck.
Take care and goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
The Week in Review, sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Coming up next, we'll look at the five-day forecast. We'll check in with the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection on Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News on TMJ.
It's a dream that I'll...
Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News, Dayton Kane in for Libby Collins. Today's going to be partly cloudy, some scattered showers, some rain in the morning. Hopefully it clears out, a high of 78 today. Tonight down to 61, tomorrow partly cloudy, 75. Tuesday, sunny and 72. Wednesday, partly cloudy, 76. Thursday, partly cloudy, 79. So we're looking at a great five-day lineup here when it comes to weather. 67 in Brookfield, 69 in Kenosha. It's 71 in Milwaukee. And let's check in with Libby.
It's a dream that a lot of people have, and that's picking up the phone one day and hearing someone say, oh, your long-lost relative passed away and they've left you a lot of money. But before you believe it, maybe you should make a phone call to DATCAP on the Consumer Protection Hotline. And joining us is Michelle Reinen, our consumer expert. And you are actually hearing from people who are getting calls about a life insurance fraud.
Yeah, actually, this is one that's going on nationally, and Wisconsin is included in that. And people are getting phone calls, but they're getting letters in the mail from a law firm saying one of their clients has died and they're looking for the heirs. And they're saying, you're one of those heirs. The letter explains what the offer is, that they want to split the proceeds between you, some charities, and their law firm, since, of course, they're helping you get in touch with this money, being the heir here. And we just can't urge enough that consumers need to check these things out before they engage. You know, this letter specifically says that no heir has come forward to collect the multi-million-dollar life insurance policy or the inheritance that they're referring to. And that's so rare. So please validate who you are doing business with before you engage, and especially before you hand over any personal or financial information.
Do they give specifics as far as who has passed away when you get that letter?
This letter is somewhat vague in those details because they are attempting you to reply. And before they want to move forward with making the arrangements, they're asking for your Social Security number and your bank account number. And then they say they'll be indicating those details. And again, that is exactly some red flag that you need to pay attention to. You should be able to get some details on who has passed, how you're connected, why you're the one to receive this inheritance before you engage in any way. And you should be able to validate that the law firm is legitimate.
And so you'll want to call the Wisconsin Protection Hotline if you get one of those letters. And let's give that number, Michelle.
You can reach us at 1-800-422-7128.
Coming up next, we'll check in with Greg Matzik in sports. It's Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News on WTMJ.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Brewers keep on beating first place teams.
On the windup, 1-2 pitch. Drill to left field. This is trouble. Is it fair? It's towards the pole. It is there. It is gone. Another home run, William Contreras, and the Brewers are right back in front. That's his sixth home run already this month. 2-1 Milwaukee in the home fourth.
Josh Maurer with the call on WTMJ. A fourth inning solo home run by William Contreras. The difference in a 2-1 win over the Guardians. Devin Williams with the save in the ninth. Freddie Peralta with the win after a quality start. Brewers go for a sweep this afternoon with coverage beginning following the 12 o'clock news with Brewers warm-up here on WTMJ. Elsewhere around the division, the Pirates, Cubs, and Cardinals all pick up wins. Reds fall to the Royals 13-1. Brewers begin the day with a 10-game lead over St. Louis for first place in the NL Central. And the Packers are in Denver tonight. One of two preseason games on the schedule. The Broncos in the Packers' way. Preseason game number two for both teams. Don't expect to see quarterback Jordan Love on the field.
The plan probably is to give Sean the first crack at it, then Pratt.
Packers head coach Matt LaFleur, he confirms that Sean Clifford will start at quarterback, followed by rookie Michael Pratt. Kickoff set for just after 7 o'clock tonight from Denver. Packers return home for their lone preseason contest, August 24th against the Baltimore Ravens. Greg Mantzik, WTMJ Sports.
Thank you, Greg. Coming up next, we'll do our entertainment spotlight and check in with media critic and pop culture editor at onmilwaukee.com, Matt Miller. Dayton Kane in for Libby Collins on Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News on WTMJ.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
It's time to check in with media critic and pop culture editor at onmilwaukee.com, Matt Miller. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing real well. Yesterday, while I was doing the Fix-It show here, Isaac was in the producer studio watching Alien. The original one was on, and I hear there's a new one coming out here.
Yeah, great movie, that original Alien. Great movie, that second movie, Aliens. Honestly, the whole franchise, at its worst, is interesting. I mean, I think, you know, not including the Alien versus Predator movies, which are just kind of silly. And this kind of falls into line of that, you know, they don't make anything but interesting movies in this franchise. It's kind of more of a just kind of grimy throwback version of the Alien movies. It's not as kind of grandiose as kind of the Prometheus and the Covenant ones of recent years, where it's kind of asking big questions about, you know, God and our place in the universe while also making people explode with aliens. But it is kind of just a fun late summer horror movie with some really good alien set pieces, some really good texture. The movie looks incredible. It looks great. They did a lot of practical effects, and it looks really impressive. It feels like a throwback in that regard. You got some really good performances in it. I think if you're an Alien fan, you're going to have some fun. There is some kind of fan service-y stuff in it, some kind of, you know, reference stuff that kind of doesn't fit great, and I'm trying not to spoil too many things, but there's definitely some kind of last moment of Rogue One stuff going on that I didn't love in the movie whatsoever. But I would say overall, if you're looking for just like a gross, wild, alien-filled time to end the summer, I think Alien Romulus is a good time.
So some good suspense built into this that gets you on the edge of your seat?
Absolutely. There's some good stuff with the face huggers. There's a good stuff with the alien itself. I really like the texture of this movie, and it does have kind of that old throwback Ridley Scott look to it. Maybe not the grandiosity of the original Alien. A little bit grimy, because this is Fede Alvarez, who did Don't Breathe and the remake of Evil Dead. So it's a little bit grimier, but it's still a really good-looking movie, really fun. Like I said, some good tense sequences. You're going to be clenched up.
So is this big enough that we're looking at taking down Deadpool and Wolverine, or is this not that big of a movie release?
I think it's going to have a big opening weekend, yeah. Which, again, we are in a really great moment right now for the box office recovery. Obviously, Deadpool and Wolverine is making tons and tons of money, became the highest grossing worldwide R-rated movie of all time this past weekend, which, you know, was easy to predict. You know, no one is like, wow, who would have guessed Deadpool and Wolverine would make a ton of money? But then after that, you have the Blake Lively kind of domestic drama. It Ends With Us. Last weekend making $50 million and opening really big. And now this weekend, I think Alien Romulus is going to overperform and kind of you know, be another successful opening. So it's really nice to see, you know, not only movies doing well at the box office, but a variety of movies doing well. Of course, your comic book movie is doing well. And, you know, okay, an alien movie isn't like the craziest bet. But, you know, the fact that a drama for women did really well in theaters, you know, it had a big opening. This is really nice to see a diversity of movies at the top of the box office.
Nice. Well, speaking of movies, what do we have coming up?
Yeah, I want to point people in the direction of some indie movies that you can find at the Oriental and Downer right now. It came out on the coast. It's called Sing Sing, stars Coleman Domingo as a man in prison who kind of helps give his fellow inmates like meaning and hope by putting on theatrical shows with them in there. It's gotten rave reviews. It came out on the coast last month, and I don't know why it's taken so long for it to finally come to Milwaukee, but it's finally at the Downer right now. I've heard incredible things about that movie. Definitely worth checking out. And then it looks like we're getting this movie called Good One next weekend, which was a Milwaukee Film Festival movie. And it's one of the best things I've seen this year. It's a small little movie about a daughter going on a trip through the woods on a camping trip with her dad and his friend. And it's just kind of a great movie about, you know, being a woman in the world growing up and, you know, being observant and the kind of silence, you know, the things you notice when everyone else is taking up all the oxygen in the room. And it's a really tremendous, really small, but really, it's got some fun in it. It's got some really interesting turns in it. I really like this movie. If you're a fan of kind of indie films, you should definitely check out Good One. I think that's going to be at either the Downer or the Oriental next weekend. Definitely check that one out.
Always good to hear from you. Thanks for coming on today.
No, thanks for having me.
Matt Miller, you can find him at onmilwaukee.com. If you're not a moviegoer and you're looking for something else to check out, they're billing it as a rare and breathtaking celestial sight. Going on tomorrow evening, the blue supermoon going to light up the sky. It's the eighth full moon of the year, and it's its brightest at 2:25 p.m. Eastern time. So for North America, we're going to have to wait till the sun sets to see it. But tomorrow, the moon will look 14% larger during the supermoon and illuminate Earth with 30% more light than the dimmest full moon when it's the farthest away in orbit, according to NASA. Not me. I'm not making this up. A so-called blue moon has nothing to do with the moon's color, by the way. It's simply a term for two full moons in a month. In this case, it's being used in its second meaning, which is a third full moon of a season. So Monday's full moon will be the third of the summer, with the first two happening on June 21st and July 21st. And I don't know if you know this. This was new to me. The Maine's Farmer's Almanac began publishing Native American names for full moons in the 1930s. These names have become widely known and used. Tomorrow's event is known as the Sturgeon Moon, so you can check that out. The moon going to appear full, though, through early on Wednesday morning. So you have a couple days to try to catch it here. If you don't catch it tomorrow night, you don't want to wake up or get up in the middle of the night and go check it out. If you don't see it this time, though, you're going to have to wait. The next pair of blue supermoons expected to occur in January and March of 2037. So it's not going to happen again for quite a while. So you may want to get there and check it out. Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News, Dayton Kanan for Libby Collins. Today's going to be partly cloudy, scattered rain, a high of 78, tonight down to 61. Tomorrow through Thursday, looking nice, partly cloudy to sunny, and 70s all week long. 68 in Mequon, 66 in Heartland, it's 71 in Milwaukee. And coming up next hour, we already made it through hour number one. Eric Brown going to check in right away at the top of the hour after the news, and we're going to talk about the state of home improvement. We're going to talk to Andrew Pearson from Mile of Music in Appleton and get a recap of how that went for them this year. Brandy Helchin, an author of the book I Love Tummy Time. And then we will check in as well with Alex Juhan from Country in the Berg, which is happening next Friday and Saturday in Cedarburg. It is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News. Thank you for tuning in this morning to WTMJ.
Men, 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 manly men, men, men.
This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News.
Men, 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 men.
Dayton Kanan for Libby Collins this morning. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate that. It is hour number two, and we have a great show lined up for you still to come. So Isaac in the producer studio has Eric Brown on the line from Siding Unlimited and Outdoor Living Unlimited. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, Dayton.
So I'm used to talking to you on the Fix-It Show on Saturday mornings when we talk about fixing things and how to fix things. Today, I want to take a little different angle because in May, the Joint Center of Housing Studies of Harvard University released its report, the Lead Indicator of Remodeling Activity Report. It's a LIRA, basically, is what they put it down to. It stated that home improvement spending is expected to drop by over $30 billion in 2024. Well, we're three quarters of the way through, so I want to do a check-in here. They're saying it's going to plateau by the end of the year. What have you seen when it comes to people redoing stuff on their homes?
You know, from a like a micro level, like just our from our company standpoint, we've seen people have been calling us, you know, and having their projects done with us. And so we've seen, we haven't seen a slowdown by any means, you know, but we've seen some trends, I would say, and maybe some, things that we, you know, just kind of that are a little different this year versus last year, as far as how projects are being done or even some of the customers that are calling. But, I mean, as far as jobs go, we're getting jobs. You know, obviously we're advertising. We're not slowing down that way. We're a growing company. You know, so a lot of positives. We're, you know, that's happening for us on the micro level.
So I just read an article this week that said the big box stores have definitely felt a crunch this year. The Home Depots, Lowe's, Menards. You think people maybe aren't fixing up their houses on their own like they used to, and they're relying more on professionals?
I think that's what's going on. I think, you know, I did a little research, and I always follow those guys, the big box stores, I find it funny their stock price. Some of their stock, like the orange guy, I don't know if we can name the names, but I think their stock price is up about 4 or 5% on the year, but their revenue is down. You know, so you know, but you look at some of the stuff, and I look at like inflation. And, you know, the cost of a do-it-yourself project 3-4 years ago is much more expensive today. And I think people are turned away from, boy, do I tackle that on my own and risk messing the project up, doing it wrong, damaging the expensive product that I just bought, having my wife yell at me for doing it the wrong way. You know, all those factors they factor into a do-it-yourselfer. To the point where they'll just be like, you know what, the small projects have become expensive projects. I'm just going to call a professional and have them do it.
Makes sense.
I think that's what we've seen as far as a trend is more of that, or a little bit more of that. So it makes sense with inflation and everything that it, you know, I mean, we can. Everyone wants to blame it, but it's not a blame scenario. It's the reality. It's happening, and prices have increased, and we have to adjust accordingly.
They are expecting that once we hit this plateau at the end of this year, that we're going to see a steady climb through 2025 as far as home improvement projects go. Do you agree? If so, what indicators are you seeing that may cause that to happen?
I don't follow like the LIRA. I know Harvard puts out that study. And it's hard to follow some of the national studies because the Midwest is so much different than the rest of the country, and Wisconsin is so much different than the Midwest. You know, so it's hard to it's hard to follow that type of stuff and put any, you know, maybe if we were one of the big box stores, we'd have to look at that a little closer as far as how we allocate our spend and our dollars and our inventory. But for us, we're just a small company. We can manage our company within the market and make sure that we're doing the right things for our customers, for our employees, and for really the remodeling environment for southeastern Wisconsin. And so that's kind of how we adjust. You know, we make adjustments based on how we're going to do things. On the micro level, that I don't look at those national. You can get lost in some of those national numbers. It's interesting. Wisconsin single family permits is up. You know, so single family homes being built is up. And what's wild is Milwaukee County is up like 120%. From last year, and then Waukesha County is up like 6%. And you start looking like, well, why is that? And you start looking at lots and the value of lots and then the size of lots. Well, the size of lots in Waukesha County are usually much bigger, so they're much more expensive. And in Waukee County, you can get smaller lots, you know. So, and then they've segmented, some of the builders have segmented the lots to a little bit smaller so that they can sell it for, you know, they say they sell it for the same price as that what it was the year before, but it's a smaller lot, so it's sure. So it's still at a premium. And they play around with, you know, the builders, they can play around with that type of stuff. So there's still activity, still good activity, and it's just a way, you know, you just kind of look at how they manage that to keep things rolling.
All right, Eric, appreciate you coming on the show. Eric Brown, Siding Unlimited and Outdoor Living Unlimited. I'm sure I will talk to you tomorrow.
You bet. All right. Thanks, Dayton.
Coming up next, we'll check in with Greg Matzik in sports. We also have Andrew Pearson coming on from Mile of Music in Appleton. It is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News on WTMJ.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. The Brewers are rolling. Another win over another first-place team.
On the windup, 1-2 pitch. Drill to left field. This is trouble. Is it fair? It's towards the pole. It is there. It is gone. Another home run, William Contreras, and the Brewers are right back in front. That's his sixth home run already this month. 2-1 Milwaukee in the home fourth.
Josh Maurer with the call on WTMJ. 2-1 the final. Brewers beat the Cleveland Guardians, and they improved to 71-52 on the season. Third best record in the National League and 10 games ahead of the St. Louis Cardinals for first place in the NL Central. Devin Williams with the save, Freddie Peralta the win. Milwaukee goes for the sweep this afternoon with coverage beginning following the 12 o'clock news with Brewers warm-up. And the Packers are in Denver to take on the Broncos in preseason game number 2 of 3. Do not expect to see quarterback Jordan Love on the field.
Plan probably is to give Sean the first crack at it, then prep.
Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. Sean is Sean Clifford, the Packers' backup quarterback, followed by rookie Michael Pratt. Kickoff scheduled for just after 7 o'clock tonight from Denver. Greg Matzik, WTMJ Sports.
Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News. Good morning, Dayton Kane in for Libby Collins. Partly cloudy, some scattered rain throughout the day, a high of 78. Tonight down to 61. Tomorrow partly cloudy, 75. And then most of the week, mid-70s and partly to mostly sunny. Thank you for joining us this morning. Andrew Pearson, sponsorship and merchandise coordinator for Mile of Music in Appleton, on with us this morning. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Appreciate you coming on the show. I was at Mile this year, and it was amazing. It was the first time I'd ever done it, which is, I'm sorry to say that, because I should have been going the last 11 years. Quite a thing you guys are putting on there. Can you fill in what Mile of Music is for people who have never heard of it or been there before?
Absolutely. And, you know, thank you for coming out for your first year this year. So Mile of Music is a 4-day music festival that happens in downtown Appleton. We put on 700 music sets, have 200 artists across 40 different venues spread out through about a mile stretch in downtown Appleton. So we have everything from coffee shops to bars to outdoor main stages that we pop up, and the whole downtown atmosphere in Appleton, Wisconsin transforms into this really festival grounds and music festival theme.
Yeah, and it's free, right?
It is completely free, yeah. That's another thing that we pride ourselves on, and it's stayed free for these 11 years that it's been going on so far. You pretty much can create your own journey wherever you want to see the music, what venue you want to go to. Everything is free, no cover charges at the bars, no fee to get into any of our outdoor stages, and you can experience all of these different artists, all these different genres for free.
You know, when you say 200 artists, you would think that it would just be chaos in Appleton and you wouldn't be able to hear anything because bands would be playing over each other. But you guys are indoors, you're outdoors, you've got everybody kind of staggered so that you can catch different acts at different times. That must take a team of people like a year to coordinate. It's crazy.
It does. It does. It absolutely does. I mean, we have a small team, but we're a mighty team that puts this thing together. And, you know, it starts already. We just finished up this year's festival, and we're already starting to plan for what artists are we going to bring in next year, what artists are going to be returning, what businesses are we going to work with again. And it really, you know, takes a full year to plan this thing, but it all comes together.
So if there's a band out there listening right now, how would they be selected for this event?
Yeah, so there's a couple different ways. We open up an artist submission process generally in the November month, where artists can go and put their name in the hat, and you know, we pick through those names. It's a really long process and quite a few people involved, but you know, that's one of the ways they can get involved. And other than that, you know, it's referrals from people in the industry, and then the long history that we have of artists that have played the festival. Now we pick through those ones that we want to come back and play the festival again. And but we always try to have a good share of new artists, some new talent coming to the area.
One thing that's, so I know a music promoter, one of the managers of the band, Post Sex Nachos, I know the manager of that band, they were there this year, and he said that you guys treat the artists like royalty almost. What are some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that you guys do for artists when they come into this festival?
Absolutely. That is one of the things that I think sets Mile Music apart the most, too, is the artist care. You know, we offer everything from dental care, hearing screenings, massages, chiropractic visits, haircuts, and counseling, therapy. I literally everything that you could think of for healthcare, these artists can receive it for free when they come to town. And that's through the support of so many local businesses, so many community members. And that is one of the things that the artists say when they come here. Not only do they get to play for packed houses, venues, crowds that they've never experienced before, they get treated like royalty from just the whole community.
And what brought that on? Because that's not typical for most festivals.
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, the understanding that these artists are out on the road. They are grinding day after day to try and, you know, make a living. And we see that the community around Mile of Music has felt that. And we just want to take care of them. So I think Mile of Music, we're setting the bar for how festivals and events should take care of their artists.
Another thing that is spurred by Mile of Music is music education. So not only is the festival happening for those days, you're there all year long, right? Doing things through the community?
Absolutely, yeah. The music education part, you know, there are different events and workshops that pop up throughout the festival. But some of the things that we do throughout the year, you know, we have a music hall called Gibson Community Music Hall, where we bring in you know, similar artists that you would see during the festival. And, you know, it's a little bit of a taste of what Mile of Music would be like throughout the year.
We're talking to Andrew Pearson from Mile of Music in Appleton. Happens every year in August, right? Is it always the first weekend in August?
Always the first weekend in August. Mile 12 coming up is going to be July 31st through August 1st, 2025.
Awesome. So not only if we go to Mile Music, we get to see great music. We're supporting the community of Appleton, a community of artists, furthering arts with the youth. You said it was the first. What is the date for next year?
The next year's dates are July 31st through August 3rd.
So you only have 347 days to put this together, Andrew. Better get on that.
Oh, absolutely. We are running with it.
So what's one thing we haven't talked about that you'd really like people to know about Mile of Music?
You know, I would say it's the community involvement in Appleton. It takes, you know, we have a small but mighty team, like I said, that puts this thing together. But to actually produce the festival, we have 500 volunteers that come out and donate their time throughout the weekend just because we need it. And everywhere, you know, we can always continue to grow the community involvement. So that's a huge piece.
One thing that I enjoyed about it this year while we were up there, so we were there Wednesday through Saturday. We stayed right at the Paper Valley, so it was right in the middle of all of it. It was awesome. We could just walk to our room when we needed to. It's not a big drunk fest. So many of these festivals you go to, and it's just drunk people everywhere. That wasn't the case for this.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a testament to the community and the crowd that comes out for the festival. You know, we've always pushed that, you know, listen to these artists, listen to what they're putting out there for you. And I think the vibe that Mile of Music has created is this atmosphere for acceptance of music that people have never heard, and then, you know, just the open ears, open minds to all this different stuff, all these different genres, all these artists. And yeah, and it's not the typical drunk fest like you said, yeah, that you would see, where people are just there to have a drink and talk with friends. It's really, they're there to experience the atmosphere and the music.
All right, Andrew, thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it. You can find everything you need at mileofmusic.com. Up next, we're going to check in with Greg Matzik at the WTMJ Breaking News Center. 9:35. Good morning. Dayton came in for Libby Collins on Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News. Going to be a decent day. Scattered showers should be ending hopefully this morning, a high of 78. If you're near the lakefront, you may see some more this afternoon as far as that rain is concerned. We do have Brandy Helchin, author of I Love Tummy Time, on with us this morning. Good morning, Brandy. How are you today?
Good. How about you, Dayton?
Good. Thank you for coming on the show. Appreciate that. You recently, is this your first book that you've published?
It is.
And what led to you wanting to do something like this?
Well, I'm a physical therapist working with babies and children, and I see many families who are worried about putting their new babies on their tummies, since back to sleep is very important. And I see that babies are struggling a little bit with their developmental skills because they haven't been spending time on their tummy. So I wanted to find a way to educate families on ways to help their babies to spend a little happy tummy time and learn to enjoy this position so that babies are happy and parents aren't scared to put them on their tummies. So I thought an educational outlet would be a board book that they could read to their baby, because reading is also important. And it would be a way to educate families as to different ways they can use tummy time with their babies so that it can be a little bit more comfortable for them.
Okay, so you said that if they're not on their tummies enough, their development can be delayed a little bit. What does a baby learn from being in that position?
Well, a baby gets stronger with their head control, with their shoulders, with their trunk and core muscles. It helps them develop their hands in a way that later on they can more easily grasp toys, learn to hold a pencil or a pen a little bit more easily. Just helps their overall development with their motor skills, but it also helps them learn about movement through the environment. If they're spending time on their tummy, they are more likely to learn to roll and crawl and learn about getting in and under things and moving through things and probably getting into a little bit of trouble too, but it helps them with their movement.
Okay, gotcha. And you're a local Menominee Falls native?
I am.
All right. And this book, if we wanted to find this book, where do we go to get it?
I have a website. It is ilovetummytime.com.
And tummy is spelled T-U-M-M-Y. I guess you don't, that's not a word you see very often in print. I'm like, oh, is that
correct
how you spell tummy? I guess it is. So somebody wants to reach out, they can order it there, and then you'll just mail it to their house?
Absolutely.
Okay. And tell me just, we got about a minute left, the process of putting out a book for those who are out there wanting to do this, is it difficult? What are some things people should be aware of if they're looking to put out a book?
It takes some time and a long learning process for me anyways. I learned that a board book is a different challenge than a paperback book. Board books need to be printed in large batches, where paperback books can be printed on demand. There is a process of learning as far as the legal aspects to it, putting it together with a publisher. If you are going through a publisher, learning to self-publish, website design and maintenance is another learning process. So it's a great and wonderful process, and I'm so glad that I did it. And I will continue to learn along the way.
All right. Well, we appreciate you putting this help out. So you're finding in your work that people are afraid to put their kids on their tummies.
Yes. There's the back to sleep recommendation throughout the United States, where they talk about how babies sleeping on their tummies can be dangerous, which is true. But when babies are not spending time on their tummies when they're awake is when it affects their development. So parents do become afraid about putting their babies on their tummy. And babies sometimes get a little fussy about being on their tummy or get mad. So they need ways to be on their tummy while staying happy.
So this is a wake time thing, and your book gives different positions and how to deal with it, and walks you through that through pictures and through, you actually have directions in the back that kind of walk you through how to do it.
I do, yes.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Well, thank you for coming on. What's the website one more time?
ilovetummytime.com.
There you go. Brandi Helchin, author of I Love Tummy Time. Appreciate it. Have yourself a great weekend.
Thanks. You too, Dayton.
Thank you. Coming up next, we'll take a look at that five-day forecast, and Libby will check in with a tease about what's going on Conversations a little bit later today. It is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News on WTMJ.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News, Dayton Kane in for Libby Collins, but we're going to check in with Libby. For some, it's a dream come true, selling it all, hitting the road in an RV to see the country. Kira and Tim LaFon told WTMJ's Libby Collins about the day their adventure began.
That first day, you said you'd sort of tried out these RVs.
Mm-hmm.
Now you own it. Did you know everything you needed to know about driving that?
Absolutely not.
Oh, heck no.
What happened?
Well, I'll tell this. So the hardest thing in a fifth wheel is backing it up. And I have a total admiration for long over-the-road truckers that can drive through all of this skedaddle traffic and then back right into the spot they need to. The first day that we had it, we were going to back it into our daughter's house in suburban Chicago. And Kira's directing, and I'm on the phone, and she's encouraging me loudly. How to back it up, crank it. And then all of a sudden you heard this tremendous smash. It was the back plate window in the truck. I had turned it so tight that the fifth wheel hit the back of the truck, which is very common to newbies, okay?
Yes.
And I pretty much gave up.
$1,300 later.
And you've owned it a day.
Not even.
Could you live with your spouse in a 335-square-foot RV for over 2 years? Kira and Tim LaFon describe the good, the bad with Libby Collins this morning at 11 a.m. on WTMJ Conversations.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Office. One call, that's all, sports desk. The Brewers rattle off another win over the first-place Guardians Saturday night.
On the windup, 1-2 pitch. Drill to left field. This is trouble. Is it fair? It's towards the pole. It is fair. It is gone. Another home run, William Contreras, and the Brewers are right back in front. That's his sixth home run already this month. 2-1 Milwaukee in the home fourth.
Josh Maurer with the call on WTMJ. That score would stand. 2-1 the final. Brewers beat Cleveland. Devin Williams with the save. Freddie Peralta the win after a quality start. Milwaukee goes for the sweep this afternoon with coverage getting underway following the 12 o'clock news with Brewers warm-up on WTMJ. Elsewhere around the division, the Pirates, Cubs, and Cardinals all pick up wins while the Reds stumble against the Royals. Brewers begin the day 19 games above 500 and a 10-game lead over St. Louis for first place in the NL Central. And it's game day for the Green Bay Packers. Preseason game number 2 of 3 tonight in Denver. Do not expect to see quarterback Jordan Love on the field.
The plan probably is to give Sean the first crack at it, then Pratt.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. Sean Clifford expected to start at quarterback, followed by rookie Michael Pratt. Packers return home following tonight's game. Their lone home preseason contest, August 24th against the Baltimore Ravens. Kickoff for tonight, scheduled for 7 o'clock from Denver. Greg Mancik, WTMJ Sports.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
An everyday hero is when Wisconsin's Morning News celebrates an average John or Jane Doe who had no idea when they got up one morning that they'd be saving a life. Today, we head to Houston. Just a day job. David Garza, a middle school teacher, was going to bed for the night. As he laid down, he heard screaming outside.
I looked out the window and I saw a man beating up a woman on the ground and he was trying to take her clothes off.
That woman was a 15-year-old girl and she was about to be sexually assaulted. Garza tells First Alert 7 in Houston that he had to do something.
I ran upstairs, I grabbed my pistol, and then I came outside. And I asked what's going on. And the girl screamed, I'm 15, help me. So I pointed my gun at him.
Garza, who's in his boxers, by the way, because he was in bed, points his gun, orders the man to the ground.
Took his hands off her right away, and he went chasing after her, so I went chasing after him, and she got away.
Yes, the victim was able to run to a friend's house. What had happened was she was on a bus headed to a friend's home when this man was also on that bus and followed her off. That's when he tried to assault her. She was able to get away. They're still searching for the suspect today. As for David Garza, this middle school teacher, this everyday hero.
I was scared too, I'm not going to lie, but she needed help more than I was afraid, so I had to do it.
Thank you, David, for being an everyday hero. Sponsored by Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living, transforming the culture of care. Eric Bilstead, WTMJ News.
Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News, Dayton Kanan for Libby Collins. Thank you for joining us this morning. It is 9:51, and on with us right now, Alex Juhan, Country in the Burg, going on next Friday and Saturday, August 23rd and 24th. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Dayton. Thanks for having me on.
Am I correct? Is this year number five for you?
Yes, year number five. It's crazy to think how fast it's already been.
Yeah, it is. It's gone by. You've had some great acts. And tell us a little bit about the history of Country in the Burg. Why did this thing start, and how did we get to where we are today?
Yeah, back in 2014, actually, I had an idea to want to run a country music festival that ended up just giving back to charity, the community, and kind of thought this idea was kind of crazy. Didn't think it actually was going to happen, but it had great support from family and friends. And fast forward, you know, I moved into Cedarburg, pitched the idea. They loved it. You know, we already have a ton of festivals, as is in Cedarburg, and how great this community is. And it happened in 2019. And it was great. And then COVID hit and everything kind of shut down. I was like, well, that was a good run. And luckily, the city was so great because of how much we were able to give back to charity our first year. They allowed us to have a two-day festival the following year in 2021. And so many people came out to show their support for Country in the Burg. And now fast forward to today, we're going on year five now of the festival. But it's just amazing. We have a great staff, my CITP staff and volunteers. The community gets all together to really support this event. You know, it's fun to bring these great country artists to a small town while also giving back to charity.
Yeah, let's talk about the artists you're bringing in this year. It's a big lineup. You got some good ones.
Yeah, I mean, Martina McBride headlining on Friday, she might be one of the largest names we've ever had. I mean, 16 Grammy nominations, 70-plus awards nominated, won ACM Artist of the Year, female four times. So just to have her here is big enough. But then we add Saturday with Dustin Lynch, who has 9 number one hits and had the number one song of the summer last year with Stars of Confetti and all this stuff. So Dustin is huge. And then you got Dylan Scott, Eli Young Band, Jared Neiman, and then you throw in David Lee Murphy, who might have the largest 90s song ever with Dust on the Bottle.
Yeah.
So we're excited for this lineup.
Well, the weather looking pretty good so far, so hopefully it holds out for you guys. Can people still buy tickets for this if they want to go?
Yeah, they can. If they go to countryintheburg.com, we have some limited pit that are, tickets available that's almost sold out, and then we have GA tickets as well available. Again, anyone who buys a ticket, not only does it support the community in this festival, but it gives back to our charities. We helped raise over $350,000 in 4 years to the Wounded Warrior Project, Children's Hospital, the Honor Flight, Mel's Charities of Ozaukee County, local food pantries, and so much more.
Alex Juhan, Country in the Burg, coming next Friday and Saturday to Cedarburg. Tell me a little bit about when I show up in Cedarburg. Where am I parking? How am I getting there? Is it chaos? Is it easy to do?
Great question, Dayton. You know, one of those things where I always thought the first year we did this festival that, oh my God, we're going to have like, it's going to be like Field of Dream in the movie where cars are going to be lined up down the highway for roads to get in. But honestly, there are so many areas to park in Cedarburg. You know, we have beautiful Washington Avenue that has all the downtown shops. There's a lot of businesses that open up their lots to have parking, and there's all tons of free street parking. Everything's walkable a few blocks away. So actually, you just come down to Cedarburg, you'll find plenty of spots to park. And we really want, when people come to this festival, come in early, because
Yeah, we open the gates at 4:30 and we want you there for the concert, but we want you to enjoy this city and everything it has to give with all the great shops and restaurants and bars and local establishments here in Cedarburg. So we just want you to come on down, enjoy two great days, get away from the stresses of life and craziness, and have a fun time here in Cedarburg and at Country in the Burg.
Sounds like you're doing good stuff, Alex. I love it. So you've been doing this 4 years. This is year number five. What's one memory that really stands out for you through all this?
Ooh, that's a great question. My favorite thing, honestly, is every year is seeing the fans that come in and how much they just enjoy it. Like I said earlier, I have one of the most amazing staff, our Country in the Burg staff and our volunteers and all the companies that come together and work on this, because we do this in a park. So we set this thing up and all of a sudden it's there for 3 days, and then we got to take it all down because it's got to go back to the normal park that, you know, I tell the city it's going to be like every year. And so the greatest thing for me is when I'm going 100 miles an hour, but to see all the fans and how happy they are and get to show off Cedarburg, that's my favorite memory. I mean, we have some amazing artists over the years that have come and performed and put on some amazing shows, but to be able just to see the smiles and the happiness of our fans that come to experience this, because it's something different. I mean, there's a lot of festivals in Wisconsin and some huge ones. We're this small knit community one, and you know, I can tell you to your red in the face to, hey, you got to come see it. But until you really do and experience the nature and the Cedar Creek that goes wraps around the tall pine trees, it's our purple elephant, our venue. It's one of a kind. So just to see people come into town and come each year to experience it, that's my favorite memory every single time.
Yeah, awesome. I love it. All right, tell people how to get tickets.
Yeah, so you go to countryintheburg, BURG.com. Tickets are actually going up tomorrow, so the prices are going up, so get them today to save, and then they will also be going up the day. We'll have some at the doors if we're not sold out prior. So countryintheburg.com, get your tickets, limited pit available, and then we also have some GAs.
Awesome. I appreciate it. Good luck next weekend.
Thanks, Dayton.
All right, thanks, Alex. Coming up next week, Libby is back. She's here on Sunday, and then you can catch her here at 11 o'clock with WTMJ Conversations today. Coming up next, Brian and David Wickert and Tim Holdem on the AccuNet Mortgage and Realty Show right after the news on WTMJ. This has been Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News. Thanks for listening.